Pawtucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Good morning. Welcome to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for joining us on this Thursday morning. We do appreciate it. 251-343-0106 if you want to respond to anything we are discussing this morning. Coming up on the program here in just a moment, we'll be joined by Congressman Gary Palmer. But real quick, go through the guest list. Alabama Daily News' is Todd Stacey with us in about a half hour for his weekly visit. From the Alabama News, my former colleague Dylan Smith will talk Alabama Senate race. That's coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. A lot to go over there. And then finally, 11 o'clock hour, we will hear from State Representative Gil Isbell of Gadsden. Well, we're going to talk primarily lottery, but some other things going on, some other bills he is looking at. So you'll want to stay tuned for that. But as I said, joining us now, he represents the 6th Congressional District here in Alabama. Always a pleasure to bring on a friend of the program, Congressman Gary Palmer. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I'm well.
Hey, it's good to hear. Thanks for making time for us. First off, let's kick it off here. Yesterday, Zelensky's speech to you guys in Congress, your reaction?
Well, particularly the end of the speech where he spoke to us in English was very moving and very effective, I believe. I think Zelensky made some excellent points, and it reminded me of Winston Churchill's speech to Parliament in February of 1941, where at the end of Churchill's speech, he knew he was speaking over the BBC and that Roosevelt was listening, but Churchill at the end of that speech said, "Put your confidence in us." And in the end of the speech, with this sentence, "Give us the tools and we will finish the job." And I really think that's where we are right now. We need to give Ukraine the tools. Jeff, the thing that bothers me the most about what we're doing, Congress appropriated a substantial amount of money to help Ukraine, but the Biden administration is doling it out piecemeal. I know $800 million sounds like a lot, but it's not that much in the context of fighting a war. And it concerns me that the Biden administration may be approaching this much like they did what happened in Afghanistan, where instead of listening to the military people on the ground in Afghanistan, the decisions were being made by people in suits sitting at desks thousands of miles away, and it seems to be the same thing we're doing here. There are people on the ground in Ukraine face-to-face with the enemy. They know what they need. They know how they will use this equipment, and I think we should provide it to them.
Well, just as far as that goes, is it just a matter of moving resources to Poland or wherever, Romania, and getting them across? Because I would think this, Congressman, the further Russia goes, the clock is ticking, and this may not be a supply line that's available in the future.
That's a possibility. But what we need to be, and Jeff, that's a great point, because you remember at the very beginning of this, when Putin was deploying soldiers along the border of Ukraine, Putin was emboldened by Biden's statement that, well, it's only a small incursion. Well, there's no such thing as a military incursion that's a small incursion. When your armed forces cross another country's borders, it's I don't care if it's a mile or 100 miles, it's still a threat. And we should have been arming Ukraine to the teeth when we saw the mobilization of Russian troops. That would have sent a very clear signal to Putin that Ukraine will be prepared for this, and that NATO, the United States, and our NATO allies would be prepared to support them. But again, I think what's going on here is you've got people in suits sitting behind desk with no clue about this stuff, tepidly providing support to Ukraine, where we need to send a message to Putin that we're going to help him. And I don't think this is a war that Putin can win. He may succeed in destroying their infrastructure, but the Ukrainian people will drag this out. This will be an insurgency that will last for 10, 20 years, and it will not only drain the Russian treasury, but it's going to drain their blood.
Do you worry that taking a more aggressive approach might have provoked Russia, that that could be seen as provocation and draw the U.S. into this conflict?
Well, again, we can, if then this to death, we've got people over here saying, well, if we give him MiGs, he's going to see that as an escalation and he might use a nuclear weapon. Well, suppose he decides to take the Baltic states, Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, and says that if we interfere there, that he might use a nuclear weapon. And then it's Poland, then it's Romania. Do we stop? We decide to call his bluff at Canada? I mean, there's lessons from history, Jeff, that, and I'm not a warmonger by any sense of imagination. I've just this past weekend called a young man to let him know that he'd been appointed to the U.S. Naval Academy. And as I was talking to him, I was thinking this might be a young man that will be in combat. So I take very seriously this, but I also look at lessons from history where if we had taken action on the front end where it would have cost us a few thousand, it would have saved millions. I mean, 1938, when Hitler went into Czechoslovakia, that was the time to stop him. And it would have, and the cost would, and I don't diminish the cost of a life for anyone, but it would have been a few thousand instead of the millions that we saw 7 years of World War II. Actually, World War II started with the invasion of Poland, but you get my point.
Well, then let me ask you, if we can wind this down now and not have to worry about it spreading throughout Europe, perhaps, why not enforce a no-fly zone? Why not go ahead and knock this problem out while we got it, or how far do we take it before we, I mean, is it a NATO country? Is that what it's going to take?
Now, part of the negotiations that Ukraine is having right now with Russia is a commitment to neutrality when it comes to NATO. And I'm fine with that, but there are other issues here. What I think we ought to do is Zelensky, I think, knows that we're not going to engage, utilize U.S. or NATO pilots and impose a no-fly zone. But we should be giving him the S-300 surface-to-air defense system that can take out planes at high altitude, take out the Russian bombers. We need to provide them with other surface-to-air defense systems that can deal with the cruise missiles that Russia's using. We have artillery that could be very effective in countering Russian artillery, including their tanks. We've got a truck-based system called HIMARS that could be effective. I think that again, as I said before, I don't think that Putin can win this war. He can destroy the country, its infrastructure, but he can't win the war. And I think if we give the Ukrainians the equipment that they need, this could create a whole different problem for Putin within his own country. And I don't know if you heard what he said yesterday in a speech about the protesters who are protesting the war. And he made a very chilling statement about cleansing Russia of the unpatriotic, spitting them out of the mouth like you would a fly that flew into your mouth. this is a desperate guy, and he's feeling pressure that he's never felt before.
Well, so is that probably the real solution here, that if you can't beat him on the battlefield, the internal politics, his internal domestic politics there in Russia will be his downfall, and that's how we take care of the Vladimir Putin threat to, you know, to the world peace?
Well, I don't know that it's fair to say that you can't beat him on the battlefield. I think the overwhelming force that he has against Ukraine would make it difficult to beat him on the battlefield. And this may sound strange, but I don't think he can win, as you would normally understand winning a war, where the enemy, your adversary capitulates and the fighting stops. I don't think he's going to win like that. I also think there's some issues with his health. I was with Condoleezza Rice a couple of weeks ago in a couple of meetings, and she made the point that she thinks that there's people within the inner circle that might move against Putin. I have my doubts about that, because he's so isolated himself. But I think he may have some health issues. His face looks puffy, and it looks like he might be on steroids. I don't know what's wrong with him. But I've said this for a long time, Jeff, and I may have said it to you. Every year older Putin gets, the more dangerous he becomes, because he feels like Russia was humiliated with the collapse of the Soviet Union. He viewed that period of Russian domination through the Soviet Union as Russia's great glory. The problem is you've had over 30 years of freedom in these countries and a level of prosperity that exceeds what Russia has enjoyed. And they didn't see that period of being dominated by Russia as a period of glory for their countries, and they don't want to go back. And I think this is his first move to try to restore what, in his mind, was the greatness of Russia through the Soviet Union.
Congressman, a couple more minutes here for you to let you go, but something if we weaken Russia to a point, is it entirely possible, and this wouldn't be a good situation, that Russia could become a vassal state for China, where they're sort of working in concert with China, as China has its expansion visions on the Far East. But, a weaker Russia sort of just is worse with China more, perhaps.
Well, that's been China's plan all along. I would encourage your listeners to read a book entitled China's Vision for Victory by Jonathan Ward. China views themselves as the middle kingdom, not like you would view a middle child or a middle position on a map, but as in the context of everything revolves around China. They're the center of the universe in their mind. And their long-term goal is for all of the rest of the world to be in subjugation to China. And they've advanced this agenda through their Belt and Road very effectively, to the point now that I think Africa's on the verge of becoming colonized by China and exploited for its natural resources and agriculture. And they're doing the same thing in South America. So when you talk about, is there potential for Russia to become a vassal state of China? That's China's intent all along. I just don't know if Russia understands that. And I think that there's another thing here, and it's interesting you raise this point, because Putin understands that too. What he's done by invading Ukraine and not succeeding rapidly as he expected, and seeing the resilience and determination of the Ukrainian people, he has created an image now of a weak Russia, a weaker Russia than anyone before this started perceived. And I think that's going to be part of the calculus, political calculus, going forward in regard to China.
Congressman, you're always very kind to come and make time for us, and hopefully we can talk again soon.
I hope so. Thanks for having me on, Jeff.
Thank you. Congressman Gary Palmer there. Always good to get him on and get his perspective there yesterday, hearing from the Ukrainian president. Let's get a break it here. We'll be right back. We'll pick it up on the other side. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
We tell stories about what goes on in Montgomery.